Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts, Salsa,
Matt,
and Jenna.
Chris Marchand has returned as a guest.
What the shit?
And Graydon Mabson is here.
Oh my god!
Hey, God, we didn't even need to be like, and also featuring our guest.
Well, Chris has been here 8 billion times.
I know.
Yeah, I know, it's great.
He's got this down. I'm surprised. Have you started a podcast yet?
No, I haven't.
Usually three guest appearances equals starting your own.
Everybody
listens to four podcasts and they have 10 of their own. That's usually how that works.
I just don't feel like I have anything interesting to talk about.
And yet you're still here.
I was about to say, I can confirm
that Chris has nothing interesting to talk
what
about.
What I was going to say was, when I do have something interesting to talk about, I come on your show to talk about it. I mean,
and everybody
starts saying something interesting.
Yeah. Nope.
And as you might remember from, I think, most, if not all the times we've had Chris on, many of the times we've had Chris on, that means it must be that time of year again, the most wonderful time of the year, the human combat chess time of the year.
Yes.
Wherein Six Elements gets their knifey stabby on.
Yes.
We will be talking about that, but first we all need to have a drink. So Salsa, what are we drinking?
Well, it's been a couple weeks and since we've actually recorded one of these, but a couple weeks ago I did a Renaissance Festival in Janesville, Wisconsin.
Braggart.
Right, but I was in Wisconsin, so what do you think we're drinking? New Glarus.
Absinthe is like, I was going to say.
I'm not drinking New Glarus.
Well, no, Jenna's not drinking New Glarus because she doesn't know it's good. But we are drinking the New Glarus, the Dancing Man Wheat.
Oh. All right.
Well, I'm having Mackenzie's Hard Cider Seasonal Reserve. Is that yours as well?
Yes. Good?
Sweet. Let's do this. Here. Clinky.
Yeah. For people with taste, and then there's these three.
I'm not much of a beer guy usually, but that's...
oh, man, this is
that's
delicious.
Nice.
Oh, that's good.
It has like a bubblegum finish.
Huh. That is...
a little bit.
The is it Bulldog that has the Luna Ale? There's also a wheat...
I don't know.
Is it Boulevard or Bulldog? Boulevard, maybe. It's a brewery out of Colorado, and this is very reminiscent of one of theirs, which I also really like, because it has a bubblegum, or I think it's almost banana, like Laffy Taffy banana, the original banana flavor, which sounds really weird, but I actually really like it in a wheat.
But in a wheat, it's a nice afterflavor.
Hold on a second. Banana Laffy Taffy flavored
wheat
beer?
Well, but the thing is, which is the old school banana flavor, but it's, I can kind of see that. It's got that, because it's a smoother, flatter sweetness.
Yeah, and that's why I'm not...
Like the front of the tongue stuff.
Yeah.
That too much saccharin, like, that's why most ciders, honestly, burn me out within the half a can, is that there's too much sweetness. Megan and I picked up one this last weekend, because we picked up their dry cider, I can't think of the name, it'll come to me, that was really, really good. And then they did like, oh, here's our berry thing. And it's like, oh, it's Robitussin and sugar combined with cider.
Yes.
No.
We both you can tell what kind of people Jenna and I are by.
Yeah, right.
The
no,
fact
but we,
that
like,
we hear that and go, ooh, can we try this?
Yeah, no, we opened it and drank it. We're like, oh no, what have we done? And it came in a 4-pack and it's like, well, we'll have a couple gin and tonics and then we won't care. And she's like, no. Because I don't want to come over here some night and be like, I want a drink, and all you've got left is this one crappy cider. I want to make sure these are gone. I'm like, nice. I respect your decision. You know? that's more foresight than I attach to crappy booze usually. Like, well played.
We've started this journey. By God, we're going to finish.
So, like, in solidarity, I cracked one open too, and we watched Beetlejuice, and it was all okay. So
awesome. Graydon and I are drinking the Seasonal Reserve Mackenzie's, and it tastes kind of like it's pumpkin-y spicy without the pumpkin.
I taste a lot of cinnamon, and that makes me happy because I love cinnamon.
There's definitely some clove in there too.
Yeah, I was gonna say is the clove kind of
the clove.
Clove's cinnamon. A good flavor though for cider.
This is excellent. Yeah. It's like, I mean, there. I have discovered that there is such a thing as too sweet.
Yes. I don't understand.
Not that.
I don't understand.
Explain.
Jenna does not understand.
I do not understand.
Before we get into the heavy lifting of talking about this upcoming human
things
combat chess season.
Things and stuff.
What's going on that's been fun, everybody?
Holy fuck. I went fabric shopping with Salsa's wife.
Yep.
And her sister.
Yep.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Yep.
We're gonna do cosplay at Convergence this year.
Oh, are you hiding the theme?
Of course.
Excellent. Uh-huh. So what we need to do then is
I know what it is.
Well, okay, you don't count. You can't bang one of the judges and be like bragging about how you do it.
No, I was gonna pretend like I was gonna spoil it for Jenna, but then not actually do that.
I bet she knows. She was shopping.
I know what it is.
No, I know what he meant, but that was funnier.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Well done, Matt.
Did I have a sticker on me now?
No. Okay. No,
so what we need to do is commit then to making sure we get a photo of this while we're at con.
Yes.
So
yes.
That we can then share it out, which we would probably do anyway, but yeah.
But yeah. Now it's official, which means...
You actually have to do it.
Yeah. We just said it on the internet. It now has to happen.
Right.
Right.
Which, much like many of our podcasts, but, you know, whatever.
4 hours later, what did we talk about?
Oh, we're going to do a thing. So yeah, but that was absolutely delightful. I loved hanging out with girls, and we did girl things and girl talk, and I don't do that much, so that was weird but lovely.
Sounds gross.
Good job.
Yeah, you did it.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Yeah, we had the thing.
Yeah, the Brawl of America. You know,
yeah.
Yes. Kind of in the vein of the Human Combat Chess. Here in Minneapolis, we have a annual Society of American Fight Directors fight workshop. So, Graydon and I got to spend 2 days at the Rarick Center, getting to do all kinds of cool stage combat-y and actually there were some classes in film this time around.
Yeah, lots of focus in film this year. It was really cool.
Yep.
Turns out, when you put a camera in front of us, all the rules of stage combat get kind of turned on their heads.
Yeah, I would imagine that's a whole different animal.
Yeah.
It really is. We had a professional stunt woman, Mary Kars. Kars, I'm butchering
like
her.
Kars?
K-A-R-C-A-R.
You messed up on the first letter, Marchand. God damn it.
I know.
I know.
Right?
So far, this is great.
But she's,
we'll let them yell at each other. Fantastic.
No, she start doing a puzzle.
She's a professional. She's a professional stuntie out in L.A. And she's from the area. Like she started taking stage combat classes right around the time, if not a chunk before I did. We both learned from Don Preston.
Yeah, she was a TA in one of my classes.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah. And so you know she's out in L.A. You know doing the thing. And then we had. Why is my brain just completely
frying?
Not
the usual crowd, I think. Well, there's Dale Girard.
Yeah,
he was
Dale
our
Girard.
Fightmaster.
Yeah, Fightmaster Dale Girard was in. Guy by the name of Jamie Green, not Bearcat.
Nope.
He's a certified teacher. I forget out of where. But yeah, it was just a lot of really good classes. Again, with more opportunity for training in film this time around, which was kind of brain breaking.
The cool thing about the film, or rather for me anyways, the cool thing was like the longer you had been doing theatrical stage combat for a stage, the harder it was for a lot of the veterans to rework their brains for the film fighting. So
Chris,
having only been doing stage combat for a couple of years and being partnered up with Marchand, watching him struggle was beautiful. It was so good. It was so good watching the his
Saucy
trying
been
to
replaced.
Wrap his
I'm
brain
so,
around it.
This is good.
No, the frightening part for me is Grady and I were, as Grady mentioned, we were partnering for one of the film classes. Was when Dale looked at him and looked at us and said, "Okay, so on that run, it looked like you guys were moving a little slow, so go faster."
Oh my God.
And I was like, and my brain just like literally exploded because I was going, "Oh my God, we were already going what felt like too fast to begin with. What do you mean go faster?" And then
don't they have special effects for this?
Yeah.
Yeah, and like
CGI in speed or something.
And then you had adrenaline puppy over here just like boing, 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 go faster.
I'm beginning to develop something of a reputation for myself, apparently.
What?
I came from a martial arts background, so my perception of what is an appropriate speed for a fight and everybody else in the stage combat community's idea of what appropriate speed or tempo is for a fight, I have learned over the years is very different. I've gotten a little bit better now at putting in like the mental blockers and being like, okay, gonna work with my partner, we're gonna do regular speed, so on and so forth. But as soon as that man told me to go faster, I was like, oh, it's so on.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it was that part was frustrating for me because I had like one too many things to adjust and I kept losing the choreography, which was frustrating as crap because I pick up fight choreography really quick and Grady would just be like, "What the hell's wrong with Marchand?" Because we'd get like
I did not actually say this. I was
thinking it.
Yeah.
No, just it was the look on your face like, dude, are you all right? Because like, we'd get like three or four moves in, and then I'd just throw my hands up and back out and be like, I just completely went up on the choreo. What the hell is going on with me today? Right. So
it's we were talking about this after the last lab show, because we had a group that was all like 101 students from Huge. And then Kyle Decker did a show with the other guy named Kyle Decker that they met 60 minutes.
Oh, the double Decker thing? Yeah, they told me about that,
they
too.
Met, like, 60 minutes before the show. Right. And, like, that's two people or two groups that have nothing but the barest either introduction to each other or the barest introduction to kind of the quote-unquote rules of improv.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch them, and I go, all the shit I struggle with, they do effortlessly. Because to them, yes and... strong character, all that shit is the only lessons they have. They've got like five lessons they've learned yet. Whereas I, you know, having done it for a long time, you're like, yeah, but there's this nuance and there's reasons you might break that rule and there's ways to do that, which then actually makes me worse.
right.
Of improv.
Right.
And it sounds like you're having the same problem where you're like, okay, up, down, parry, thrust, and like you're just like fucking rah.
Yeah.
Or it's like, yeah, but you'd want to make sure that you're doing the right thing, and like there's this wealth of knowledge that's actually holding you back, and you're like fuck me, like, and I just watch these people going, they're having so much fun. I think so much before I do anything,
right?
And like, and they just are like, wee. Like, remember how it is to go do this for 10 minutes, get paid nothing, and get a beer with your friends? Yeah. Speaking of which, I watched the movie Don't Think Twice, which is that improv movie.
Oh, never heard
of it. Mike Birbiglia did a movie about being an improv group.
Oh, okay.
Where one person of your improv group gets picked to be on, quote-unquote, Saturday Night Live in that universe, and like how that affects everybody. And is it just drills into your heart with like, this is what it's like to be in an improv group. This is what it's like to steal a scene. This is what it's like to do warm-up games. This is what it's like to be the guy that like... didn't show up because he was busy doing some bullshit, or the shows up late and misses like every possible scenario I've lived through doing improv over 15 years.
Got it.
Totally addressed in this movie, and I was like, wow, this is really amazing. And then I don't necessarily agree with all the conclusions he draws, but it's fascinating. And like, again, it's that same idea of like, from a perspective of like, oh, I've been there, done that, you're like, shit, that's a good chunk of my life. If you were a brand new person, you'd be like, why would anyone do that? They should be doing it for the love of the game. And that's there's that character that does that. And you're like, oh you're so sweet, you're never gonna get paid.
You should do it for the purity of the art form.
Oh, sweet. Oh, summer man,
I've said that more times than I want to admit.
So any new certifications or anything like that? Or
yeah. I picked up a recommended pass and quarterstaff.
Nice.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
That was the scary part about it. It's like everybody's like, oh, it's Gretton, he's got this in the bag. And I'm like, but what if I don't?
So that's the thing that that's sort of, you know, to get certified in a weapon through the Society of American Fight Directors, you have to have 30 hours of supervised training under a certified teacher. So it's not like you can, you know, just for those who are, if this sounds interesting, you can't just go to a workshop for a weekend, you know, for a 2-day workshop at a weekend.
And then test out like a college course.
And then, go there expecting to pick up 2 or 3 certs. It's so.
Like that guy that didn't know French that won that Scrabble tournament.
Yeah. So, I mean, so Grady was.
What? That's a thing?
Mm-hmm. He just memorized the dictionary.
That's fun.
He memorized the shortest possible words that had the highest point value and just played those.
Yep.
Didn't know what they meant, didn't know what they were.
Yep.
But that's if it was 2 or 3 letters and were like used Q or X or whatever.
Oh my God.
And so he only played super high point words and won a Scrabble contest.
Oh, yeah.
So, tangent warning about that Scrabble. My family plays Scrabble a lot, my father in particular.
Oh, do we need a trigger warning?
But the way that guy plays Scrabble absolutely infuriates the heck out of me.
Me too. I agree.
Because my dad does not know he does not know at all what the words he is putting on the board mean. Half the time, he has no idea if they're even a word. You have to challenge him. And half the time, he's just fucking bluffing. He's just throwing a random bunch of letters on the board, and you have no idea
whether or not... Perfect.
So you're playing Balderdash Scrabble?
Well, no, it's the way we played Scrabble out at Fest with Ethel. If you could justify by giving a definition, your word counted.
It's Balderdash Scrabble.
Use it in a sentence. I also used the Flurbnart when I had trouble, you know, expunging the canon.
Yeah.
Earlier this morning.
Yeah, but since the guy had all of the two-letter words in the Scrabble dictionary freaking memorized, he would make all of the great plays and get like 50-point plays.
Root, you know.
On a word that he'd never seen before.
I hate that, too. That's why I always lose at Scrabble, is that I will use real-world words I would use in conversation, and if it's like... Oh, well, you know, in the Scrabble dictionary, you could use these four letters and make this thing no one's ever used since, you know, the mid-15th century. Technically, it's legal. I'm like, well, that's not fun.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I, you know, again, oh, shit, love of the game. Oh, I'm blowing my improv argument. I quit. Like,
yeah. Well, I won't lie. My father's way of doing it was fun. It was just cutthroat as hell. This was Scrabble and poker kind of mashed into one.
Like, I watch games like Countdown and compete against the competitors. Like, that's me. I'm the nerd.
Yeah, I don't much like playing adversarial games anymore. I've gotten a lot into playing like cooperative games,
which is why you do fight choreography.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I've suddenly felt an urge to want to play social deduction games. So games like Mafia, Werewolf. There's one that came. Resistance.
Also like an escape room.
A little bit. There's one actually that the rule set is intrigues me, and I hate the name and I hate the setting that they use for it. But it just the game mechanics are intriguing. It's called Secret Hitler. And I have watched...
Because of course it is.
Actually, I see what they did there.
Yeah.
Tough to get in the App Store with that one, I bet.
A little bit, yeah. Actually, a free print-and-play variation that they made on it, they did a Star Wars conversion of it, and it's they call it Secret Sith. And so instead
much
of...
Much more palatable.
Yeah, so it's set in the Galactic Senate.
Marketable to nerds who play games.
And I'm pretty sure as one of the lead developers of it was the same guy who did Cards Against Humanity.
Okay.
So, and I'm pretty sure they were sitting there going, this would work great in the Star Wars universe, except we can't get the IP for that, so we won't be able to sell it.
Yeah.
Crap.
Yeah.
So, you know, they had to make it marketable in some way, shape, or form. So... And also,
what's more marketable than Star Wars?
Hitler. Yep.
Well, and granted,
nerds are bad at marketing.
You know, and also granted, I think they started working on the game back in like 2014. Yeah,
if there's one takeaway from this episode, nerds are bad at marketing.
Yeah, true that. But
no, every so often, we win at it like no other. But by and large,
story checks out.
Yeah, Marvel seems to have unlocked that.
What'd you do?
Yeah.
Shit. Oh, I did an episode of Not So Silent Planet, which I think is why I didn't record last week. Was that last week I didn't record?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. That was fun.
We did the Die Laughing cast.
That's right. That's why we had that instead. I got to record an episode with Joe Bozek, both with him as like the sidekick for my show and then me as the sidekick for his show.
I hate you.
That was a fucking hoot.
Oh my God, I'm so jealous.
Wait, so let me get this straight. The reason you didn't do this podcast last week was because
I was double booked.
You were cheating on Salsa and Jenna with another podcast.
With
Joe Bozek. So
yeah.
It's like that time somebody.
I'm about to get murdered.
Had you told me that's what you were skipping for last week, I would have been much more kind of.
So like that time when someone cheats on you and then you look at a photo of them and you're just like,
I get it.
All right. I can see why you did that.
Do I get to podcast with them too? Is that how this relationship works?
I'll put in a letter of reference.
So I'm probably about to get murdered by the regular host, but who's Joe?
Joe is half of Ferrari McSpeedy, the improv
Can the
group.
Regular hosts pass off permission to murder him to me? Because I would love to do that. Right. Excellent, totally. Thank you.
But yeah, Joe is half of Ferrari McSpeedy, big fish in the local improv community, great sketch writer. One of the folks that has founded Strike Theater, does stuff for the Twin Cities Horror Festival every year.
Okay, so he's a huge deal.
Big deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so,
way bigger than us.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I was like, I want to go do a show and listen to what he thinks of my short story I wrote an hour before because I forgot we were recording that night.
Yep.
Whoops. As I do. And honestly, the best advice for that turned out to come from a slightly tipsy Ben Sandell, which is also not surprising because that guy's also super talented.
Yeah, he is.
So what you hear, if you listen to the episode, which won't come out until like September, because they're taking a hiatus for the summer, and then this comes up to kind of lead into the horror festival, which is why we recorded it. But I wrote a story based on a writing prompt on Reddit, and I was like, well, you're just listening to my rough draft. Like, here's the prompt. I wrote this thing. Read the thing. We talk about it a little bit. And Ben goes, you know what would be interesting, maybe, is this. And I'm like, note.
Right?
And then, like, my notepad on my laptop just says, better idea, twist. And then I wrote Ben's idea. And so, like, at some point when I perform this live, it will be with that version. And I'm going to see how that goes. Because I was like, oh, that's good. And he's drunk. So, but that was fun, as it always is. And then we began rehearsals for Murder on the Mississippi, which is the latest in the series of the mystery/murder shows that Fearless does. This one takes place in the Jonathan Paddleford.
I already have my tickets.
Which means it takes place on a paddle boat on the Mississippi River over the course of 2 hours. The show takes place on all three decks, many things occurring simultaneously. It is impossible to see the entire show at one time. You have to decide if you think you know where the important plot points are happening, or where you think what room might have the best information, or what character you think is most interesting, and you can follow him around the boat, or you can stick it out in one room.
No, I was going to say, actually, I'm going to call it now. If Matt's in the room you're in and you go see the show, don't be in that room. Be somewhere else. Yeah.
We already know Matt did it, so go look for better actors.
So, in addition, so in addition to being a nightmare of just practicalities, because we've had two rehearsals now, and they're just, I am so glad my part is not huge. Because there are people that I have to be doing something like all the time, and I have chunks of where I can just interact with the audience and mingle. And I'm just like, every time my chunk of time is that, I'm like, yes! I can just stare at the sea or river.
It's almost like that's where your strong suit is.
I would agree. Yeah. I would absolutely agree. But so you got that, and then you also have that this is a Prohibition era period piece.
Okay.
So we're all showing up full on gangster attire,
yes.
Flapper stuff.
Oh my
god!
Yeah,
moonshine and guns costumes. And gangsters, and we're just like
riverboat.
It's going to be so much fun, and we're just like, I hope somebody shows up.
And yet, somehow I've got a feeling you'll find a way to ruin it, man.
I mean, unless that's part of the show. No,
I'll give it true. Right. Well, true.
But, and if he's supposed to ruin it, he won't. So, God damn it.
I'm not going to go into like a full plug for this because it's a ways off. It doesn't start till like June 23rd or something. But like
21st.
Whatever. But it's fascinating. It's like, it's the scariest form of theater because it somehow combines having to memorize shit with improv. And like, those are two things I hate.
Mm.
And so doing both.
Oh, that's why you stopped doing those.
He's done improv for 15 years. He said,
I didn't say I was good at it or was comfortable.
He just keeps banging his head against that fourth wall.
Always say yes. And so, yeah, it's gonna be fucking bug nutty.
Cognitive dissonance in you is staggering.
It's strong. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, there's that, and then just like the Fringe Festival looms and is keeping me up at night. So
God.
that's my whole life right now, is memorizing lines and worrying about my Fringe show.
Cool.
Which we'll get into later.
Hey, the three of us did a thing.
Did we?
Sunday
did.
Night.
I mean, I don't know that
you were
we did
you were
much.
Wearing a tie even.
I did.
It was creepy.
I heard that
is you, what that was.
I didn't like light on fire.
I know.
And
I heard that you were rather adamant that you were needing to wear said suit.
Well, just a suit.
Yeah.
Because Megan's like, I'm going to wear a dress. I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen you wear a dress.
It sounded, from what Megan told me, it sounded like you were doing that thing of trying to go, you're going to make me wear a suit, right?
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah.
That's not even it. She's like, okay, I'm going to wear this new dress I got. I'm like, cool. Like let's both dress up. I don't want to be like just jeans and a t-shirt. And she's like, okay. And like, I put on my suit. And she's like, really? And I'm like, I mean, it's not great, but it's a suit. And she's like, you don't have to do that. You can just be comfortable. I'm like, no, I'm going to wear a suit. It's fun to wear a suit every now and again.
The way she said it, it sounded like you were super eager to wear a suit.
I was. That's absolutely the case. Yeah, I was just like, no, let's do this. Fuck it. Let's go all out, because I never, ever do that.
I fully support and empathize with occasionally wanting to just put a freaking suit on.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? This is like, I don't get a lot of excuses to like put on a tie.
Yeah. Suits are fucking classy.
And when it's on, of my own accord, I'll put a tie on. I don't want to have a job where I have to wear a tie. Yeah, that's a totally different answer.
Right. True that.
So, listeners, the three of us were at a wedding reception.
In case
you wanted to know where all of this was
going. And here I thought you were just going out to the bar for the night.
Yeah, we were.
Here's the thing. There was a bar.
Yes, there was.
There was karaoke.
Oh, God.
Don't bury the lead was most important.
Donuts.
Yeah,
fuck
what?
Yeah, there were donuts. There was
the
a donut buffet.
The most important thing is there was a bar.
No.
Yeah.
It was at Kieran's, which is a great pub.
Yeah.
Rather than having wedding cake, they had Glamdahl bring in donuts.
Yeah.
Oh, Glamdahl donuts. You didn't say they were Glamdahl donuts.
So I had a s'mores donut, a creme brulee donut.
Oh my God! Don't stop it! Stop it right now!
I should not have eaten those donuts.
I ate one donut. No, I suffered. Like, I've had more than enough sugar.
Oh, I know. I did too. But I was like, I will never buy these donuts because I would never go to a place, spend $5 for a donut that would be way too sweet for me to eat. So I was like, I'm going to sit here and pick a donut. Everyone around me pick a different donut. And we all just like took a bite and passed to the right. Yeah. You know, we just,
smart.
Yeah, and so we just everybody ate like small chunks of a donut. So I tried like 8 donuts I would never get to try.
I feel like if
so I would never buy
one. If this was 10 years ago, I'd be a lot more excited, but I just...
It was 10 years ago, I would have just eaten one of each of these donuts myself.
Exactly. But now I just like, I had my donut and was just like, ugh.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is, Graydon, this is what you've got to look forward to in about 10 years.
Yeah, dad bod like a motherfucker.
Well, we'll see, because most of the male members of my family and extended family at this point, when they have reached the age that I am at, was about the time when they started turning pear-shaped. So,
what age is that?
Yeah.
Around 29, 30-ish.
Okay, so you're like...
Right.
I'm approaching 29.
Okay, here's the deal, though.
No, you've done pretty well then, because I think I was about that age and I was already getting
started. Here's the deal. How active are you on a regular basis, Matt?
I mean, I'm awake a lot.
How active are you on a regular basis?
Let's just say that, like, any time
I'm
spent with both
resting.
My feet off the ground is good times.
Yeah. So, yeah, I feel like he's burning a lot more of that intake.
I would assume so. That's
Jabba
the thing.
Jabba the Hutt burn more than Matt.
There are different kinds of exercise. There's burning calories. There's building resistances and tolerances.
I just pictured Jabba the Hutt, like, actually moving. And Matt's just like, fuck it, man. That smacks of effort.
You sail barge.
So, fun segue. Speaking of Jabba the Hutt, Grady jumping around and burning calories and things that he does.
If you can tie this together,
I know this one.
So, Grady, tell us about the Saber Legion.
Oh, sweet. All right. So, the Saber Legion is a Star Wars club, but it goes way beyond. Saber Legion is a club for people who like to duel with lightsabers.
That sounds like an entirely Star Wars thing. Lightsabers are exclusively Star Wars.
Yes.
Yes. but, like, it also, we also do, like, there at
Spaceballs.
At events, there's also, like, cosplay and a few other things. It's primarily, but the dueling is the focus. The idea is that, we get together, we pat ourselves down with fencing masks, mostly hockey gear, a lot of stuff. We get really heavy with the padding and so on and so forth. And then we have...
So you just wail on each other?
Yes. Polypropylene sabers.
I love every part of this.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
This is so good.
It's actual lightsaber fencing. It's not scripted or staged.
The
stage.
Coolest thing about it...
Do they actually light up then?
Yeah.
This is nerd.
Many of them have...
Oh,
shot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This sounds an awful lot like...
You're talking like...
SCA.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's like one of the coolest things about it is that... We have people from the historical European martial arts communities who do it. One of the instructors has hematize. We have one of our best fighters is somebody who's been doing kendo for 5 years or
that
so.
Yeah.
There's people coming from Eskrima backgrounds, Kali backgrounds. Like every sort of weapon-based martial art you see, people come to this and like have a chance to practice that in an area where everybody else is practicing that, all under the banner of nerddom, and it's great. Oh my God.
It's like the early days of UFC.
A little bit,
it's like, okay, what if a boxer fought a wrestler?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, what if this guy fought this guy, but you have to use a lightsaber?
Yeah, and it hasn't become
totally
really, like, homogenized yet.
Yeah,
so
which you will eventually, because that's how you get MMA. But, like,
I think so, but
for now,
not.
That's got to be insane to watch.
Yeah, so you've got people coming from all sorts of different
are
backgrounds.
Are there things like this
well
on YouTube or something?
If you go, there is a Facebook group for it called the Saber Legion, as well as if you're local to this area, the Saber Legion, our chapter is called the Minnesota Wampas.
Like you do.
And
it's actually a national organization.
Yeah, okay, so international.
People
actually.
Google this because I'm going to be doing that after the show.
Do people get into character for this or is it primarily combat?
It's primarily combat. You don't have to get into character.
Dark side and light side or anything like that.
We play around with that a little bit. There are certain,
but it's fluid.
Okay. You're not required to like create a character. The rules of the matches don't involve any kind of like, your lightsaber is this color, does more damage, nothing like that. You simply take a hit. you score.
But if you can do a force push, they allow it.
Okay.
Yes. There's no baby face or heels or anything.
No. Okay.
Some of the people do some really cool stuff combining cosplaying with their protective gear. There's really cool paintings awesome. On some of the fencing masks that make people look really, really awesome.
Does everyone have the traditional lightsaber, or can you do like a Darth Maul?
You can do any kind of lightsaber you want. For tournaments, they have divisions, so you're not going to be able to take, like, your double-bladed or, you know, your whatever ridiculous lightsaber you have into the standard division. But
my lightsaber's a gun.
Yeah. But
I like you.
But, like, if you want a blaster, that's fine, but you realize who you're up against, right? Like
Deflect.
I mean, but
that's
again,
not going to end well for you.
Yeah. way to be the stormtrooper at a Jedi. I mean,
like, if you want to bring a blaster to your lightsaber,
I brought a stormtrooper to a gunfight.
Yeah. There is also a choreo team that I'm part of that we do stage combat lightsabers at the meets. And we do get into character because we're telling stories via violence. Yeah,
for sure. Well, because that's kind of, again...
Telling stories via violence.
Yeah, that's kind of ties into human combat chess and stage combat in general. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think a majority, if not your entire choreo team for the local chapter of TSL is in this year's chess show.
Yeah, basically everybody except like the super newbies are in chess. So the entire choreo team is like, hey, Terry, so about the meet that's happening in July, like, probably not going to do anything because we are just all of our time is taken up getting ready for chess.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else that we want to hit before we take a break and get into just human combat chess?
I'm going to take one thing out of
that.
Saying, like, I'm actually really excited about this whole Saber League thing because I'm doing the fight choreo for Tragedy of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh,
and so I'm actually going to show up and I'm going to watch these guys and I'm going to see.
Cool.
So instead of just studying the saber movement
from the
like,
films,
from
in the
movies,
right.
Like actual live.
Right,
because
you
guys were
talking about
film and live is different.
I meant to ask you about that. Like when you said you were going to come over and study, were you talking about like watching the people doing the actual duels or like the
all of it?
Okay,
so that I can see how different styles play and
yeah.
No, I got Brent connected me with something or other.
Shamim,
yes.
Shamim is our local saber master, by the way, or saber smith, I should say. The magic that guy can work with putting hilts together and doing sound fonts and stuff like that, he does a lot of custom work. All of it is super cool.
Nice. What you got,
Salsa? Well, like I said, I went to the Janesville Renaissance Festival and basically got rained out the entire weekend.
Which can sometimes be fun, but
I suppose because your gig is
nothing
up with your mouth
weekend.
Open, which kills turkeys in the rain, we're told.
Also, I've got a big lightning rod down my throat, so not so much in the rain and thunderstorm. So that having been said, the crowds when I was able to do my show were real happy with me.
Good.
I actually...
So, did you make anyone puke?
I had a couple people leave.
Okay, good enough.
So I get there, and I set up my tent, and it's Friday night, and getting to be 8, 9, 10, I'm still the only tent there, and I go, everybody else knows something that I don't.
Right.
Because it rained all day the next day, and I discovered that tent is not as waterproof as I would have hoped. So it was a little wet there, but redemption came. One of the pointy hats on the royal court couldn't do the second day, like something called him away.
Okay,
and so he had already booked his hotel room.
Nice.
Was trying to get a refund, and they were like, "You booked through Priceline or something like that. You got to talk to them." And Priceline was like, "There's a fee for backing out, which is basically the price of the room." So he was just like, "Just let somebody else have the room." And so I got the room, I got his room that night for free.
Nice!
So, yeah, that was super, super helpful. And then the next day was super windy, but
you're like, as long as
rain.
This is under other guy's credit card, I don't know who ordered the porn.
So it was, but it really was...
rude. That's rude.
It's very rude. Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a very rude man. No, but it was, I didn't
Can
do
confirm.
As well as I would have hoped, but... you know, they seemed very, very happy with me and would love to have me back next year. So,
well, nice.
You know, no one can plan for weather.
So. Exactly. And there were various other things I was going to mention, but we're running short on time. So I'll skip forward to about halfway through Saturday, my phone suddenly stopped working. My SIM chip died on me, so I like went to a Verizon store and were like, make it go. And they were like, you're eligible for a new phone. So I have a new phone.
Like kind
of Yay!
So I
that went better than expected.
Yeah, I know. Right? So I have a brand new phone now.
Like you walked in backwards, spreading your ass cheeks. Like, okay, look.
Yeah, exactly.
I know how this is gonna go.
Please just use lube.
Yeah, no. Not only
can
that,
I get a courtesy spit.
But yeah. But he also was like, oh look, I can save you like $20 on your phone bill. So it was like, thank you, kind sir.
Oh shit, I gotta call.
So I have a new phone, and I also have a brand new phone case on it.
Woohoo!
Which you can get by going to CashmereTheHungry.threadless.com or something like that.
Or something like worst plug ever.
Right? Nerds so are bad at marketing.
But then the next week, that week leading up to Fest, I was going to drive out there in my own car, and my car started making a weird noise. Because I don't remember if you remember that about a month ago, my car was hemorrhaging oil. Mm-hmm. That took its toll.
Oof.
And it was making noise, and I took it in again. They were like, you need a new engine.
Ooh. Wow.
So it's like,
also, the hard drive crashed. Yeah, you're not getting that back
on. So,
that's
so the
most expensive part.
Yeah, so and it was going to be twice as much as I spent on the car. So it was like, time for a new car.
Yeah.
So I have a new car now, and I have a new car and a new phone, and I
so your big pimpin'.
So yeah, basically. Yeah.
Define new car, like new car or new to you car?
It's a 2013.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's relatively new.
That's
right?
Pretty good. I think I'm driving a 2002, so
yeah.
Like, that's pretty good.
I'm not judging.
I'm judging it well. That's well done.
I remember going from a 2003 to a 2016.
God damn.
There's a little bit of shock involved with that.
Take that cider back. He doesn't need it.
But yeah, no, it's like I suddenly have Bluetooth, and I suddently have a working air conditioner.
A dentist.
And it was like, woof. So
it's the Bluetooth that I'm jealous of. Yeah. The ladies and I were talking about it during fabric shop, and I'm like, yes, Bluetooth, that son of a bitch.
it means that everything, I just got a raise at work, and it means all of that raise is now going to payments.
Oh, more money, more problems.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I
know,
right?
One thing I want to go back to real quick.
Jeez.
Jenna asked, you know, like, so how many people, like, did anybody throw up or leave your show? Is that normal to happen during your show?
Yeah. Have you seen my show?
No, actually, I haven't.
Yeah, no, it's quite good. Matt's usually the one leaving.
Well, I'm getting inured to it, but it still bothers me, and I will now play it up to help your crowds. But, like, the first few times I watched Salsa do his shtick...
Yeah, I had to turn.
It gets my gag reflex.
Really?
Brushing my teeth usually makes me gag. I have a super sensitive... And
when
so, like,
he
watching
was
him,
training.
Like,
when Salsa was training for this, he would send pictures to Matt and I, like, before anybody else knew this was happening.
Yep.
And I'd be like, oh, one of the...
And it's just like,
good
don't just
job,
send me a fucking...
Salsa, very
a GIF
proud
of you. Shoving
you.
A coat hanger down your throat.
Oh,
no
God.
One wants to see that. Well, okay, there's a very specific segment.
I would rather have had a dick pic. I'm just saying.
It's fucking weird.
Okay, no, it was an honest question. I didn't know.
No, there are people who, like, kind of like me, just like, you watch that, and if you're not kind of primed for it,
yeah.
The idea of someone just being like, check it out. And you're just like, that's my initial reaction the first few times I watched it. I'm getting better, but still.
There's two points in the show that usually get, you get the people with the weak stomachs right at the beginning with the first stunt.
Yeah.
About halfway through when I do the pool cue.
Yep.
Even some of the stronger stomach people get a little weak in the knees at that one.
Yeah.
So
I don't understand that. Wow. Okay.
No, the thing is, like, it's one of those things where
man, it is a
doesn't.
Shame you are straight, Chris. Because the boys would love you. Just saying.
No, speaking of the Bluetooth thing, I might have mentioned this back when it happened. When I went to KOLCon a few years ago, the rental car that Scully picked up myself and like Dick Tits from the airport had Bluetooth. And he was like, this is amazing, because he like linked his phone to it,
yep.
Right.
Music.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is awesome. And we're driving along, and he's like, can you guys, like, isn't it just, take a minute and appreciate that we live in a future where, like, I can have a signal that gets beamed out over, like, space and then comes back and it plays music out of my car and dictates, goes, like a radio? And he goes, ah, fuck me. Like, this is very old technology applied in a different way.
I have,
and
I
like,
have,
that's like the best troll.
It's, I have such a short story, but this is good. I got LED Bluetooth light bulbs that have speakers in them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
The light bulb has a speaker?
Yes, the light bulb. It's an LED.
Is it inside?
Like the, it's, well, it's around the edge of the light bulb. Yeah. So okay. You just okay. Screw it in and it's an all-in-one thing. So you can control the LED light settings from your phone.
So it's a bow chicka bow.
Yeah. Nice. You can control the light settings and you can control the music.
You control it from your phone or from like a dinner?
From the phone.
Nice.
Yeah, it's all phone control.
I like it. I like it.
You can
it.
Be in the other room and you can just start switching things around.
Your little heart-shaped bed with leopard prints.
Yeah, baby.
That's weird.
So
that sounds like a recipe for some epic trolling, though.
The radio just randomly started playing Barry White. How odd.
Oh, I fell over. Oh, I fell over again.
But,
I fell over again.
So here's the thing. So I've got one in my bedroom because, of course, I have one in my bedroom. But I've also got one in the bathroom for like listening to music. When you take a shower, you know?
Shower. That's not where I would have
air quotes listening to music in the shower.
I was like, just like, you need that, like, Rocky theme for, like, a wicked poop.
Oh, yeah.
Da-da-da. Anyway.
Grit your teeth for getting through this.
So I have. So I have one in the bathroom for whatever use you may feel the need. But the Bluetooth bulb can only be hooked up to one device at a time.
Yeah.
And both Jess and I use that light bulb.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So what'll happen is that, like, one of us will leave our phone connected, and somebody will be shitting, and then suddenly you hear, bling, or just, like, music starts playing, and you're like, what the fuck?
There's your ass has two unread messages.
I'm in the other room, and I hear, Mom, turn off your phone.
So presumably there's no Bluetooth microphone.
No.
Okay, good. As no. long as it's not that, you're probably
yeah,
okay.
No, we're not then that it's just, creepy.
Then it's, well, but, that wouldn't be you. It would be the people that manufacture it being right. that creepy. But that's good. So at least, yeah, so it's yeah. surprising, which, again, could help yeah. in my scenario.
You know, exactly.
God, this is the worst.
I mean, if you need motivational music, you need motivational music.
Okay.
No judgments here.
Rocky pooping montage. I'm not saying I didn't like it. It did scare the shit out of me. Anyway.
I have okay. thing, but you know what? It's yeah. I lost it somewhere in there between Bluetooth and poop, and I'm just like, no, you know what?
Yeah.
Somewhere ready to move
like
on.
Like an accurate summation of
some of our we all lost something that day. All right. We'll be back in just a minute with, I don't know, some more nonsense.
Well, something. God. We'll do something. Some shit.
If you guys like what you heard, come visit us on aonpodcast.com and leave a comment. Or you can send us an individual email at salsa, Matt, or Jenna at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Because and we're back. I'm still Matt.
My podcast. I'm Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
I'm still Chris.
And I am, to the chagrin of everyone, still Graydon Mapson.
There we go.
See, he fits in just fine.
All right, you guys, we alluded to it earlier, but you guys do fighty, stabby, knifey, wappy
yes,
stuff.
Yes, you fucked that all up.
Really, no, that, I like, said it exactly how I meant to say it.
You've manned your ports and port manned your toes.
Exactly. Exactly.
I feel like I should vomit after that comment.
Yay!
You didn't even have to swallow a sword.
Nope.
Well done.
Work day's done.
That's what it's like for those people to right. watch my show.
All right, no, that's legit. So, yeah, every, you know, for the ever since 2011, Six Elements Theater here in the great Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota, have decided to put on a human combat chess match. We have the loosest of plots as an excuse to put up sword fights for the entertainment of our adoring audience.
Yes. And yeah. to those of you wondering...
Story checks out.
Yeah. What combat chess is, it's exactly as awesome as it sounds.
Yes. So the general premise is that There is a fictitious Midwest Combat Chess League. So there is a league with 8 teams, and we have featured various different teams in
Go
the past.
Phoenix.
Yeah.
No, by fictitious, you mean that like the in-game kayfabe
yes.
arguments are kind of a la pro wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah. There are actually people doing this.
Yes, yes, yes. Like, yeah. There are actually people doing this, but the greater expanded universe is completely... And actually, we reference when we're writing the story and talking to the performers about the universe, we reference kayfabe specifically.
Yeah, because it is the simplest... Yeah.
Yeah. every year, the show that we put up is the League Championship match.
Except for last year,
which was the All-Star Game, which allowed us to do some silliness. But
Benchies on the board.
Oh God, never happening.
Never again.
I don't want a show where the Banshees are on the board. I want the show where two different teams are on the board and the Banshees have taken over the role of the Marshals.
Oh God, that was...
No. These are all words that would make sense if you went to their show.
Exactly,
which you can do soon.
Yes. This year's show is the Legion and the Celts. So the Legion are kind of a team of bruisers who generally kind of tend to toss chess strategy out the window, or even combat chess strategy out the window, and just kind of focus on combat. It's not so much about the chess. It's about, hey, there could be a fight over here. Those people should fight, and basically try to win by removing the other team from the board. Whereas...
The Celts are more of a sort of a family-oriented team. We are centered around working together as a team, as well as also there's a lot of more lighthearted approach to it. We're not quite as serious about the game as everyone. We're not as wonky or crazy as the Banshees are, but we don't necessarily always take things as seriously as we could. I think the best way that was put, I think it was what Lufke says, the Legion strategy... you can tell when it's working because the Celts are bored.
Yeah.
So if at any point you see the Celts being bored, chances are whatever the other team is doing, it's working.
So the general premise of the game is it's kind of exactly what you'd expect from a human combat chess match. There is a giant board of alternating black and white squares, and there are... 32 players on the board, each representing a different piece of chess. The kings call out the chess moves and play a normal game of chess. However, when two pieces enter the same square, normally whatever piece is entering just removes that piece from the board. In human combat chess, no. They fight, and whoever wins gets to keep the square. So... that already begins to create some interesting scenarios where you can break the normal rules of chess because, yes, the defending piece can and sometimes does win the fight.
That pawn could beat that bishop.
Oh, yeah.
Or vice versa, you know, as you'd expect, yeah.
There is still, of course, an advantage to attacking into a piece because whichever piece is attacking into the square gets to choose what weapon...
Or
weapon style that the pieces fight with. So
or just swords.
Yeah. There is a certain amount of, I want to say strategy to it, but like you said, the whole thing's written, but there is a logic behind it as the kings try and figure out, okay, which of these pieces, is the person playing this piece a generalist who is good at a lot of different kinds of weapons, or are they a specialist who is, has a really high level of skill in a certain kind of weapon? I want that piece to attack, so on and so forth.
Which does point out that it's not just always two people squaring off with a sword.
Correct.
Interesting matchups.
There are some wonky weapons.
Strange weapons that we have had in the past. Let's see, we've had halberds as a weapon choice. We had the weapons call was gladiator, Roman gladiator. And so we had I forget what the style is, but they had a gladius and a buckler, a small shield.
Oh,
and the other person was a retiarius, a trident and a net. Yeah.
That's gotta be a nightmare.
Oh my god.
Would
be against a myrmidon?
It was a rough style call.
Okay.
We've had semi-mismatched styles where it was a two-handed longsword versus a katana.
We had, 1 year. Last year we had like a poleaxe against double hatchet. That yes. was a fun fight.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. One.
Sticks. Could just be
yeah.
We've, like in Rambo 3.
Yeah, actually we had 1 year we had someone choose a weapon call of sticks. One guy picked up a quarter staff. The other person picked up a pair of Escrima sticks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We also had like last year I had quarter staff versus mason shield.
Yeah. So sometimes we get
that's fun.
So sometimes, yeah, we do the traditional.
And so it is a bit of like fantasy fighting of all your favorite old school styles. Yeah.
A lot of it is. All I had to do was
spray the mace at him, and it was at the end of the fight.
A lot of it is us stage combat folk. Like, we don't like pulling out fight ideas for fights that we've had that we probably would never be able to do in like a regular stage show.
Yeah. Like in a reenactment you'd never get to do X versus
or if like
Y.
Somebody's putting on Shakespeare, they're not gonna let us do broken beer bottle versus katana. Like they're not gonna let us do that, but like this gives us an opportunity.
Is this a katana I see before me?
Not for long.
and we have like a perfectly flat, relatively large space to play in, so there's not as much restrictions there. It lets us
you don't have to worry about like tree roots
or
sticks out at the
right
time. So it gives us
or
to choreograph fights that we've had ideas for that most like directors and other kinds of stage shows would never let us do, and we're gonna fine, we're doing it our own way, so
I mean, it is like the biggest weapons showcase in like the Midwest, possibly.
Yeah, easily.
The Midwest, possibly the nation.
Do you ever do lightsabers?
We have not done lightsabers.
Have you done a Batleth?
I
feel like that one has a maybe.
Batarangs.
Ooh, batarangs.
No, we don't do thrown weapons.
I would imagine throwing weapons are very difficult to choreograph.
No, we haven't
done Batleth.
No, but I kind of feel like we've done some. You know, there
as great and furiously write down. Furiously writes down notes for the next time the Banshees are on the board.
Batleth is actually more likely to happen than lightsaber.
Mm-hmm. I'm imagining because that is closer.
It's at least made of
steel.
Well, it's at least made of steel.
Yeah. But I mean, that's an important, like all of the swords or, air quotes bladed because all of our weapons are stage safe. So they have rebated or rounded edges on them. So they're safe for us as performers.
Because oddly enough, you need to be able to do knife too.
Yeah.
They are safer.
But aside from, at least in the case of the steel weapons, aside from the fact that their edges are dulled, they're actual combat worthy weapons.
Yeah, so you can still get smacked in the head with 10 pounds of mace.
It's going to hurt.
Yeah. It's all high carbon steel, and most of them are actually heavier than what
the real
historical weight of those swords would be. I've held some of those broadswords, and I'm like, no. Yeah.
And it's, going into the show, I mean, there's, 10 to 15 hours of fight rehearsal per fight, that each fight pairing or group has to do before the fight
roughly
goes on stage.
How many fights are we talking in a show?
This year's been a monster.
This year's huge. This is our most ambitious undertaking in terms of the number of fights. I don't want to give an exact number because the game itself is a best 2 out of 3 format, so there will be at least 2 full games of chess happening, possibly 3.
And with 16 3. Pieces, I mean, the math requires...
Yes. In the most number of fights...
Notice I didn't do the math.
Yeah. The most number
of... He just said math is involved, therefore a large number.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The most number of fights we've had 3. In the past, in a whole show, I think is in the mid-20s.
I think it was 29.
It
was last year's show.
Because I remember you coming on last year and saying this was going to be your most ambitious year. So
We stomped it flat.
Yeah.
Like, last year was
like
ambitious, and we got more ambitious.
Oh, my God.
So,
I mean, you gotta keep going.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's like, in what other type of show do you have, 31 combatants, 13 fight choreographers. It's just the
backstage part of this.
Yes,
is enormous compared to
absolutely
most shows.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's so.
I know that the plot is obviously always kind of played very close to the vest, mm-hmm. because that's the whole point, yeah. is to go see the show and see how it plays yeah. out.
Right.
Is there anything specifically for this year that you can kind of give a nod or an inkling to as far as, like, here's why this year's different than last year or different than a previous show if you've seen one before?
I've got something that's not super spoilery. This year we have kind of reworked how we build the script.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, we're getting a lot more, and this is absolutely fascinating to me, we're getting a lot more... not just like a theme or plot coherency throughout the script, but also a lot more of the combatant relationships.
So more organic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as how the fight...
It's actually slightly less organic.
It's more structured.
So that structure allows for a clearer... Like
better storyline.
Yeah, better mm-hmm. storyline as Straight well up. As like the characters being better defined. Mm-hmm. Each character, the characters in the pieces get better moments to put themselves forward and yeah. like mm-hmm. define themselves and tell the story of their relationship and how their fights go.
Getting back yeah. to kind yeah. of a pro wrestling metaphor.
Yeah, yeah like, sort of yeah.
you get to pick whoever is your John Cena or your Rock yep. versus
very
Triple
much
H
so.
Or yep.
you know,
yeah.
There's
so
lots of
cool.
different
so you
kinds
know who
of
to root for that you can like
board.
And yeah. Mm-hmm. There, yeah. So, I mean, that's fun.
There's very much a when we were writing the show, there is a fight where the director of the fight director and the production team have basically said, when we get to this fight, if the audience is not rooting for either this person or this person who are fighting each other, then we haven't done our job.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. So, that makes sense. Yeah.
So if we can pull the veil back a little bit.
Sure.
Take us through the process from the beginning. No, like...
Squeaky veil.
So you're talking about
Which
writers.
Ben and his girlfriend yep. from that
the question,
Tim Burton film.
Who are the writers? Is it a small core group of writers, yep. or does everybody no. kind of get a little bit of a say? Or how does the whole thing come together?
So for this year's show, we actually started back in September.
Okay.
There is...
right.
There is a group of five of us that we call ourselves the Nucleus Team.
You had to give yourselves yeah. that name, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Darwin was the one who came
you're
up.
You're the
with
executive.
It. Yeah.
The administration,
we're the ones who yeah, yeah. said, you know, we're going to do this. Mm-hmm.
People in charge.
We decided we wanted. We figured out. Okay, we wanted. A guy by the name of Steve Luton. We said we want to bring Steve in to direct this year's show. Steve's an advanced actor combatant with the Society of American Fight Directors. He's been very active in the fight community. He's been in the show as both a performer and a choreographer for
he's
the past
also,
few years.
Also a very active mm-hmm. actor and director in general.
Yes. Okay. So we said, and he's during last year's show, he had a lot of ideas and a lot of ideas that we liked. So we're like, okay, Steve, let's. Let's bring you on board. And he and a guy from one of the members of the Nucleus Team, Nathaniel Nesham Case, they wrote this year's show. It starts with actually figuring out the chess, like the actual physical chess moves and writing mm-hmm. the chess of the show. Once we have that, you know, so then we know how many fighting roles we have, how many fights we have, Then we go through auditions and actually cast the show. Casting the show, this is kind of an interesting process that I'm kind of proud of because
yeah, I really like how we built the
one of the things
script.
Yeah, well, not just the script, but one of the things about the show is with rare exception, most of the parts are just we need a person with. Fighting experience, age, gender identity, race, all of it does not matter. We are mm-hmm. casting.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Like, what is 75% of the reason that we cast a performer in a particular fighting role is their level of stage combat.
Kind of hand you this thing and you won't
yeah.
kill
yeah.
someone.
I mean, there are other things like
stage presence.
Stage presence is a part of it, but actually
stamina.
Their stamina, but also their physical condition, but also surprisingly their schedule. That's another big thing. There have been people where we're like, there have been, you know, in the past have been like, yeah, you're great. You're wonderful. We think you're amazing. We want to give you four fights.
You will have no life beyond this.
Yeah, we want to give you four fights, but,
God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm busy all the time.
Fucking A. Yeah.
I actually assume it's not me. But
if you're
going to
miss a month's
fine.
Worth of rehearsals,
exactly. Right. Then, you know, if
it's just one, it's not safe.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Not even
two. It's not safe.
Yeah. Also, three and four. Yeah. But it's like that's the thing. Is farther down the list is it won't be good for the show.
Yeah.
But you know, like you've got a whole like for us, like when we do an average like theatrical show or a comedy show, it's like, well, the show will be lame. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, someone will leave lame because someone's gotten stabbed in the fucking quadricep, and that's not okay.
So, so once we have the show cast, and somewhere in the middle, we get a general idea of which two teams we want to be, you know, this year, which will give us a rough idea of what the feel of the story is going to be. But sometimes that idea gets thrown out the window. When we went into casting this year's show, we had decided it was going to be a retread of the 2012 championship. Mm-hmm. It was going to be the Legion and the Corsairs. When we actually got done casting the show, based off of the personalities of the performers that we have, plus more importantly, returning players, because we try and keep the universe persistent. Again, kayfabe.
Which is also just a level of nightmare.
Yeah.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Which is actually my job on the Nucleus team. I'm responsible.
Do you have your own little wiki?
Yeah, we do. I haven't done the best job keeping it
but
up.
No, but I can see
that.
How that would be.
But but we have an in-universe
keep the
wiki.
Lore, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing is that, like I'm on the Celts this year, but my character's home team is the Banshees.
Yep.
It was kind of cool the way they put together an in-universe reason for why the character, like, we don't have enough actor combatants in this region at all
to actually have
32 full unique teams to put on the board. We have returning people who, you know.
Yeah, that's like Vegas level show. Yeah,
exactly.
So, yeah, but they put up.
Someday.
No, for sure. But
oh my God.
I would love to see that. That'd be amazing.
I know, right?
But
some pyro, fuck yeah.
Yeah, but they came up with a really cool sort of like in-universe explanation for why somebody you might have saw them playing for the Celts last year and now they're playing for a different team this year or was playing for whatever team they were on, the Dragons, last year on the board during the All-Star match, and now suddenly they're on the Celts, and it was kind of cool.
It's similar to WWE putting somebody over the top. And
there's essentially a redraft phase at the end of
the season. They redraft the teams. Literally, it's each team gets a certain number. I think what we came up with is four keepers, and then everybody else goes back into a draft pool, and teams get completely redrafted every year.
Yeah. And then in this year's case, when they casted the show, they ended up realizing none of the four core people that were like part of the Corsairs, like core enclave, were actually had time to do the show, and all of the people who were part of the core
Celts
formation for the Celts were able to do it. So they were just like, well, fine, I guess the Celts are on the board this year.
Exactly. That's kind of what it was.
Flexibility is
great.
For the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've got the chess figured out. We've got our characters in place.
Yep.
And we have a pretty good idea of which fights are going to be happening between who.
That's part of the casting process you know, we know how many fights, we know which piece fights which, and we cast to that, to that. So now we know who's fighting who. Next part is sitting down with the choreographers, looking at all the schedules, and then figuring out, okay, what weapons are we using for all these fights?
Which you then have to mix and match, I would assume, to people's proficiencies.
To some degree, yes. To some degree, no. More often, it's a lot. Like in the case
it's
of,
a bit
in
of a
the
lottery
case,
or
no, in no. the case of, it's sometimes it's working with the choreographers. Like if there's somebody that's been choreographing for us in the past, they'll be like, I really want to choreograph with this weapon this year.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they're like, oh, I've got a really cool idea to choreograph
with this idea. Can some of the combatants come with ideas too, or do you really kind of
We're open to that, yes.
Okay.
But it's...
So if you've got somebody who's been on the cast for 3 or 4 years already and is like, I would really, really love to do a double hatchet fight, then okay.
Every year I ask for my scimitar fight. Every year
Never
I ask...
Happen.
hate you. Gonna happen. Hate you so much, you fucking asshole.
And you know, there's
just gonna have to happen backstage.
There's yep. some. No, and there are some.
And it'll be a YouTube.
Don't, Jenna, Fest. Just.
I know.
We can do this. We can do this.
Okay. You and I will do one for Fest.
Okay.
Okay. Done. You heard it here.
Also, sometimes there are some people like Grady who are just do some amazing shit with a particular weapon, like Grady with quarter snaps.
I'm blushing.
You are a little bit. It's kind of adorable.
No, it's just Grady can. Come yeah. see the show, yeah, but we will find reasons for particular performers to use particular weapons because they're right. just that good a performer with.
But which just makes I will sense. Also yeah. say, as a fight choreographer, I feel like weapons choice also becomes a part of the story too.
Yes, very
so
much.
As we're you know figuring mm-hmm. out from the choreography perspective, well, what weapon happens mm-hmm. where. If you have some wacky weapons, the next fight you want probably isn't going to be wacky weapons.
No, yeah.
Things
yeah.
like that. There's a lot of storytelling flow that goes into yeah. it, too.
And that's another consideration
like
when we're...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, weapons mixtape.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also, you know...
I'm using that.
You know, getting a little more into the fight direction once we, you know, looking at the structure of the show. How long is each fight? You know, what... Yeah. You know, again, what weapons are they using? We're not going to throw... We're not going to throw some wacky mismatch weapon type, you know, in the first three or four fights when the audience is just getting used
yeah,
to the
you,
universe.
You got
to
establish what's going mm-hmm. on first.
You also have to take into consideration, like, what might be a really long fight and what might be a really mm-hmm. short fight. If you're looking for a long, really important major beat of the show, you don't want to...
Like the finale.
Yeah, you, that... You don't want to get too wacky with the weapon choice at that point because if you go too yeah. – a lot of wacky weapon choices have the flaw of like not being able to allow for as much variety of movement in them. So like there's a wacky weapon choice that I had like – that I have this year that this is like we're not going to make this too long because there's not a whole lot you can do with it.
But, right. But you know what? It's an interesting fight to watch.
Oh, yeah. I'm really glad that it's as short as it
yeah.
is.
No, it can fill its certain spot.
Yeah. It is... Like
not all short films should be expanded into a feature.
Yeah. And, right. And that's actually one thing that we're... that kind of allowed us, especially from a rehearsal time perspective, to do as many fights as we did. In the past, every fight has been what we would consider a medium to long fight, so somewhere between 45 seconds to a minute and a half. An idea that we've been playing around with and we decided to pull the trigger on this year is some of the fights are going to be quick. They're going to be short, like 15 yep. to 30 seconds in performance.
This is actually a very reasonable
backstab
fight.
Yep. No, yeah,
yeah.
It's
that makes perfect sense.
You know, and again, from a pacing,
pocket knife versus halberd yeah. might yeah. be very short.
Sometimes chaotic shit happens when yeah. you're fighting, yeah. and sometimes you get a big like yeah. mismatch in the skill between. Like, not every fight is going to be a fight between two very evenly matched
exactly.
people.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
you know, so I mean. As storytellers, as we are writing the show, yes, we are not going to make some major important story beat fight, a real quick, two-hit knockout fight. Because no one wants to see what happens sometimes in MMA where, right. one of the undercard fight eclipses, the main event because the main event's is over in 10 seconds KO, into the first round. Yep. As storytellers, we're not going to do that because that's not interesting
to
the audience.
Which, again, the pro wrestling angle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Real fights are over quickly.
You want people to come back, yeah.
But, yeah. But again, addressing that, sometimes there is just such a mismatch between the competitors, either because someone's injured from a previous fight or it's just, fighter A selected the weapon because they know fighter B absolutely sucks with it. So
it's Indy pulling the gun on the guy with the scimitar.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just like, oh, I see what's happening.
Oh, is that why I can't have my scimitar fight?
That's exactly why you can't have
someone
will
pull a gun.
Fight.
Yeah, no, that's fair. No mm-hmm. firearms, I get it.
The last question I have then before we should probably move on.
Oh, man, I had other questions for these two.
Well, we're going to talk more Human Combat Chess soon. Yeah.
But no, specifically for these two.
Oh, okay. Well, my last question. Yeah. Then.
Okay.
So we have made comparisons to WWE and stuff like that. Is there a lot of extracurricular shenaniganery? Not, or are the fights pretty clean?
Like a steel chair from a tag team partner?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, do you occasionally have somebody from the sidelines distract one of the combatants or something?
In the past, yes, we have had little shenanigans like that in the past. Okay. 2014
a little bit
was
of dirty
one of the last
fighting.
Times that we really pulled that.
Otherwise, I know that the marshals are the referees, and every so often they end up getting entangled in the fights.
You know, 2013 we had it where a fighter had their opponent in a chokehold, but the marshal was getting distracted, so the person who was getting choked out was trying to tap out, but the marshal wasn't seeing it to end the fight.
There's a little bit of that sort of thing happening.
But in this year's show, maybe, don't know.
Maybe not.
Specifics are always up in the air.
All right, I gotta ask real quick.
Sure.
How did you get involved with Human Combat Chess?
How did I get involved with Human Combat Chess?
Keep it short.
Yeah. The only time of the shows that Six Elements Theater has produced, the only one that I have not been a part of was the 2011 show because I didn't know about it. A buddy of mine, Jesse Richards and Missy Iverson,
I've heard of both of them.
Yeah.
Right.
Those names are familiar.
They got pulled into the show at the last minute because they were like, you know, they were just getting the show off the ground. And Jesse was like, dude, you need to come see the show. And I went and saw the show and I was like, I need to get involved in this. And literally just kind of my enthusiasm for the show, the creator and fight director for the show, Mike Lubke, was basically like, you want to be a bigger part of the show, I will use you. And he's basically,
let me pocket your enthusiasm.
Exactly.
Right.
No, that's literally what it was.
That's essentially what happened to me with, like, Viltan.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Look at this.
This is the thing?
Yeah.
And, you know, it rekindled my passion for stage combat, got me back into, you know, taking classes and going to workshops.
Mm-hmm.
And basically my entire performance life now revolves around Human Combat Chess. Like, to the point where I'm not doing the Minnesota Renaissance Festival this season because chess is running so late.
Oh.
And because
some of us are dumber than he is.
Well, no, it's just that.
We knew it.
But I mean,
I'm glad you said it first.
But as a performer, even at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, what I want stage combat, I want theatrical violence to be core to my performance. And between the end of chess and the beginning of fest, I just don't have enough time to get enough fights.
Well, like we said, the number of rehearsals it takes to
right.
I don't have the rehearsal time or the choreography time. I mean,
would you be able to co-opt some of your chess fights?
Possibly,
but that assumes you have the same person.
It's kind of faux pas, really. Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah,
a little bit.
It's not like strictly no, but it's kind of faux pas. I mean, you got to get permission and like other things, but also it's just kind of
okay. These are things that I just learned, so I'm glad I
can see it. Yeah.
It's like doing somebody else's fire routine.
No. Once you say it, it makes perfect sense.
Right.
You don't steal somebody else's stand-up jokes.
But there's things that are kind of both because, like, you know, I mentioned watching that movie about improv where like Deuter's pressured to come up with a sketch and he goes, "Oh, I did this improv scene a while back. I'll just do that improv scene as a sketch." And, like, half the people he knows are like, you piece of shit. And it's like, that's absolutely how sketches get written.
Yeah. Right.
You have a really successful improv scene, and you sit down and flesh it out. Like,
yeah.
But I get both sides of that.
Yeah.
Like,
So, I mean,
it could go either way, depending on it. It does make perfect sense to me. Yeah, you just got another
thing. As soon as you said it, yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I'm really sad about not being at festival this season. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's my first.
I'm pretty good at that. Are you good?
Yeah. No,
I'm good. Yeah.
God damn it! I lost the fight partner. You fucking asshole.
Oh man, I like that one. I like
that one
a lot.
That's okay. I'll be working with Graydon this year. Yeah. Hey, Graydon.
Was he at Fest last year?
I don't even fucking know.
Yeah. I was wandering around wearing an eye patch. You know, it was awesome.
Graydon, how did you get involved with Human Combat Chess? Real quick.
The really short version of that story is Jen Sisko.
That's fair.
Is everybody named Jen these days? What's happened? I feel like
it was
everyone
the most
either,
popular.
I know, but like everyone either
like
have on the show or reference now is named Jen. I think that's your doing.
Yeah. So. When I joined the Minnesota Renaissance Festival 2 years ago, at which point Jen Sisko has been a good friend of mine for a very, very long time. At which point she introduced me to Louis Rosa, who basically told said, like, oh, by the way, you're going to be in chess. Yeah? What's that? Okay. I don't even know what you're going to be in it. Okay, fine.
Yeah. I just love that story. Yeah.
That was how that went.
If he recommends you for it, yeah.
Yeah.
Many good careers have been started, but by the way, you're doing this now.
Yeah.
Huh?
So
Lewis is a natural talent for, like, oh, this person. I want this person for this thing that I'm doing, and then he gets them.
You could do worse than have someone believe in you in life.
Like,
yeah.
So to close out, here's the big marketing plug.
Oh,
show opens June 16th and runs Fridays and Saturdays with one Monday performance through July 1st. Tickets can be found at assumetheboard.brownpapertickets.com.
Mm-hmm.
Information about the show can be found at the Six Elements Theater website, which is sixelementscompany.com.
Also, you can. We've got permission for this.
Oh, yes,
we have a promo code.
Oh, shit.
Ooh, yeah. Yep. You want to use hashtag assume the board as
hashtag
your promo card.
Yes. Yeah. As hashtag. The promo code.
Hashtag assume the board.
Nice.
Use that when you check out with Brown Paper Tickets at assumetheboard.brownpapertickets.com.
Actually, that hashtag anywhere, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, hashtag
True
assume
Stone
the board.
Coffee?
Yeah. True Stone Coffee is involved. They are one of our sponsors this year.
What? We love True Stone here.
Yeah.
We do.
They sponsor everything, don't they?
Hey, they were the sponsor last year.
Yep.
So
I will one last part. Where is the show physically? It is at Christchurch Lutheran, which is at 3244 24th Avenue South in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's up in the Longfellow neighborhood, kind of up over by Merlin's Rest.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Speaking of coffee,
yeah.
We would like to point out that True Stone Coffee continues to prove its awesomeness by sponsoring Human Combat Chess. They've also been a longtime sponsor of this podcast.
What?
So I will say, for this episode, let's say use that hashtag, assume the board.
Yeah, use it.
And, you know, you can also use apropos.
Apropos.
No, I did it.
Apropos.
I was hoping she would do it. It's like duck season, rabbit season.
No. Nope. Okay, cool. Nope. Sorry.
Fuck. You can use apropos if you want a discount. But for now, let's say, to show some solidarity with our lovely guests, use that promo code, hashtag assume the board.
Yes.
And get yourself some delicious coffee delivered straight to your door. As we've said before, we all drink it with great regularity.
Mm.
And don't forget, they have the super good cold press, which is, I believe, unrivaled
in
the industry.
Which got me through a really cold and rainy festival.
Oh my god, that shit's so good. So, I will be clinging to that with feverish intensity when we get around to the Renaissance Festival this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know last year, and I do believe this year, we will have some of that delicious cold press coffee for available at the concession stand the show.
Better still. So. All right.
How long have we gone?
Long enough, but let's roll into an outro.
Yeah.
We can do this quick.
Coffee and cutlasses.
Tell you what.
I mean,
let's
come on.
What
can go
wrong?
All right,
so we're going to roll into our outro immediately right now because I got to go record another podcast in about 10 minutes. So
make it quick.
We're going to do our Fast Five.
Yay, Fast Five.
Really? None of you guys can say Fast Five? Fast Five?
Fast Five!
Thank you, Jenna. So...
I don't know the rules of this game!
Exactly, which I'm going to go over really quickly for you and the new listeners. If you happen to be new to this game, like one of our guests, the way this works is we're given a list of five choices, A or B, Coke or Pepsi type choices. Mm-hmm. We're given no context, however. So, we will be given an A or B type choice. We pick the one we think, for whatever reasons we hold personally. We'll go through the five things. We'll go back and open a second email that tells us what the actual reasons were, find out who was right and who was humiliated. So...
It's delightful.
This one is another old one. This comes to us from the lovely Mud Steffen.
Yay!
I just got a digital copy of Logan last week and got to watch that movie for the first time.
Nice. Oh.
Mud is the best dude ever, and that movie is fucking awesome.
Yes. All the tears. All the
so
tears
fucking
and
good.
Feels.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
I have not seen it yet.
It's really good.
It's super good.
It's really, really
but
good.
But be prepared to cry.
Oh,
yes, absolutely. So, question one.
Okay.
Your choices are Vanilla Ice or MC Hammer.
Oh, MC Hammer.
MC Hammer because of the pants.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
I got to go. I'm going Vanilla Ice on this one. Which lyrics to their most famous song can you still remember?
Oh, okay.
Ninja. Ninja.
I don't know.
Ninja. I hate you so much right now.
All right.
And all is well.
Question two. The New Guy or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2?
Oh, TMNT 2.
Ninja Turtles,
yeah.
2.
Turtles.
We just,
yeah,
I mean,
turtles.
Come on.
Yeah.
What did
all
I just say?
Question three, NSYNC or Backstreet Boys? I gotta go and sing.
Why?
Only when I sing in concert.
Light them both on fire.
I gotta go Backstreet Boys.
All right, I will begrudgingly go in sync.
I honestly couldn't tell them apart.
I couldn't.
That is legit. As far as
I took a while. I just mentally flipped a coin.
Which one had Justin Timberlake?
In sync.
Okay, then I'll go with that one.
I would agree.
Okay. Isn't it Still Boys to Men?
That's Boys to Men.
Okay. What? You can't tell any of them apart.
Question 4. Mark Wahlberg or Donnie Wahlberg?
Ooh, Mark.
Marky Mark.
Marky Mark. Music or films?
Better, Marky Mark. Better actor. Way better actor.
I don't know.
Fuck up Donnie.
I'm going to go Donnie.
Yeah, I'm going to go Donnie just because it's Donnie.
I'm going Mark.
And question 5, also Mark Wahlberg or Donnie Wahlberg?
Well, now I'm
going
to go Mark.
I'm going Donnie on this one now.
Yeah, I'm going to flip it. I'm going to go Donnie.
I'm putting all my money down on Donnie.
Marky Mark.
All
right. It's got
to. This is the worst. Oh, my God.
Vanilla Ice or McHammer? When you think of a 90s rapper, who do you think of first?
No, MC Hammer.
MC Hammer.
I think MC Hammer. Because
It's the pants. It's the motherfucking pants.
Dude.
Can't
touch
this. Motherfucking pants.
No. But it's not about the songs or anything. It's 90s rapper. Vanilla Ice is the first one.
No, that's legit.
White rapper, I think Vanilla Ice before I think Eminem.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But 90s rapper, I think MC Hammer.
Yeah.
New Guy or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, our context was, better Vanilla Ice movie role.
No.
Well, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I mean, Ninja Rap is the... I don't even know what that is. But, I have no idea what Ninja is.
No, it's Ninja.
So it's got to be...
Yeah.
Ninja. Right. Ninja. Rap.
Okay, NSYNC or Backstreet Boys, if you had to sit through one concert, which one would be less torturous?
Backstreet
As I said,
Boys?
I went to an NSYNC concert because my first wife was enamored of them. I had a good time. The music's not good, but theatrically, it was amazing.
Yeah.
It's like the best Vegas show you've ever seen.
Okay.
It was basically Cirque. That's the thing. So I was just like, I had a great time. But if I'd gone to see Backstreet Boys, I'd say the same.
Yeah.
But I've seen NSYNC, so I got to say NSYNC.
Yeah. My response still holds. Burn them both down.
NSYNC.
All right. Mark versus Donnie Wahlberg.
Round one.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
All right, round one.
Which brother had the better music career?
Oh.
Marky Mark versus New Kids on the Block. I listened to a lot of New Kids
Marky
on the Block.
Mark,
yeah.
New Kids on the Block?
No, Marky Mark was just Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Yeah.
Donnie
Wahlberg was one of the New Kids on the Block.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
I stand by my choice because I
probably too young to listen to that because you need
New
like
Kids.
Five more years to be in that.
I think I'll stick with Marky Mark then.
I'm going to go with Donnie. I listen to both, but I think I listen to a lot more New Kids on the Block.
Yeah. It might be different because I was a chick.
Probably, yeah.
I couldn't stand all the girls in my fourth grade class with their giant button stands.
My sister was that.
I was just like, what the hell is
when we got in the...
I never did that.
When we got in the minivan, we were listening to New Kids on the Block.
To be fair, I can name one New Kids song, and I couldn't name a Marky Mark song.
Yeah.
So,
that's fair.
To be fair... Weird Al parodied a New Kids on the Block song.
Oh.
Did he?
True.
Well, that's how you know you've made your mark.
Oreo.
Is that a New Kids song?
The Right Stuff, The White Stuff. Yeah.
The Right Stuff is a New Kids
song?
Yeah.
Okay. The White Stuff is a song about Oreos.
Yeah.
Okay. Which, once again, when Weird Al makes your song about food, you've won.
I wish I didn't know that. Matt was telling the truth.
Matt ruins things
well,
again.
Well, then I know too. New Kids on the Block.
You're the worst.
Oh my god, you don't even know which band you're
referencing. I seriously have no fucking clue who these people are.
You are the Aaron Burr of this conversation. Clearly the worst.
Dropping Hamilton's left and right.
I don't know what that means either.
That just means you're... Okay. Lastly, Mark Wahlberg or Donnie Wahlberg. Which brother has the better acting career?
Oh, Mark Wahlberg by a long shot.
I don't know. Mark Wahlberg has done some shitty fucking movies.
But
I like Donnie Wahlberg. I think I might stick with Donnie Wahlberg. He's been
between
in less
the two of them,
movies,
I have
but I think
seen
Donnie's the better
Mark
actor.
Movies.
Because like
yeah, that's police fair. Procedural for a while.
What has Donnie done?
He did a couple Saw films where he was really good.
Oh,
and those films were bad.
That's
but
right.
He was good.
Hmm.
And
he was one of the detectives.
Also,
in Saw.
He did not do The Happening, which I'll give him credit for. Because
there is that
true.
Dude, cannot act.
See, I don't count.
You gotta talk to a plastic tree and then call himself an
even
idiot.
If an actor has like a bad showing at a bad movie.
For
I
sure,
don't
we all would
count. Yeah. Like
you can only do so much.
That doesn't make right. them like that doesn't
gotta pay the bills.
Invalidate
you know.
Their
I'm
other performances.
I know that about Donnie the Saw thing because I actually like the Saw franchise.
I like it too. It's not great, but I like it. No. You know, as a horror
the first guy. The first one was amazing.
Of course,
in terms
I think
of
the first three are all you need.
I think he's doing the Blue Bloods. TV show?
Oh, yes, Blue Bloods.
Mm. Donnie.
But I would say, and part of the, I think the problem here might be the initial shock of seeing Mark Wahlberg as an actor has worn off.
Yeah.
And seeing Donnie pop up in the Saw franchise for me was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh my god, you can act. All right. So that one is maybe still more surprising. So I might be weighted unfairly. Because I think Mark is good. He's done good movies.
Yeah. He's also done the Transformers movies.
The thing is, right.
But the thing is, everybody does.
Every actor who has ever been has done shitty movies. That's just a
fact. Dude, you got to pay that rent.
Exactly. Exactly. So you can't.
Got to pay off that second pull, yo.
I wouldn't say no to Michael Bay.
Right.
I would do that gig.
You know, directors are going to do shitty things to you. So
directors going direct.
I'm going to say Mark.
Right.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Real quick, before we go, once again, the dates for Human Combat Chess are...
We open June 16th. We have shows Fridays and Saturdays and the first Monday. Two shows on Saturdays. Again, tickets information is assumetheboard.brownpapertickets.com.
Promo code, hashtag assumetheboard.
Yeah, and don't forget to use that promo code on True Stone Coffee, if you're so inclined. We're gonna give up our spot this week for them.
Yeah.
We also have coming up in the following week, you may or may not have this show go up again before it's too late, but you'll have Fearless Lab and is Double Blind next week or is that the week after? Week after. I think we're back to our normal schedule.
Yep.
But yeah, Fearless Lab will be next Tuesday, which once again is pay what you want. This one is chock-a-block full of awesome because I think I have the most acts I've ever tried to squeeze into a single show. I'm also supposed to be at rehearsal. So we're going to see how that goes.
Oh, God.
But what could happen?
We also have the closing weekend of Anxiety the Musical.
Yep. Woo-hoo.
Holy shit, go see that. I saw that the other week, and it was fucking amazing.
It is a blast.
I almost had an anxiety attack in the best way somebody with anxiety could almost have an anxiety attack. And then they let the tension go perfect. It was amazing.
And
just
that
go
is
see
June
it.
2nd and 3rd at the Historic Mounds Theater. Starts at 7:30. Yeah, there are tickets on sale now. Get them ahead of time. And honestly, get them soon, because the show's been selling very well and... close to
we
selling
might
out
get close
every
to
night
out. And we've that's actually, a huge theater, so
it's a very big theater. We've
go
gotten very close to selling out each night, and the final chance is when people usually go, okay, I've been waiting. So get your tickets early,
go get them.
And get out there and see it. I've seen it. I loved it.
It's
it
both
really
anxiety inducing and cathartic at the same time.
As
it
someone
was
that is well familiar, I was like, oh, this is too real but too funny.
Right, exactly.
Wow. It's
very well done.
Yeah, check that out. You can always go to fearlesscomedyproductions.com to check out whatever the hell else might be going on. More things will be coming up. Is there anything else we need to make sure we hit before we go?
Oh, I can't think of anything else.
Perfect.
I don't have anything. Do you have a Pebble show?
I do. Is that next week? It might be next week. Tell you what.
Be next week.
I believe next Monday, I will be at the Phoenix Theater, the old Brave New Workshop on Hennepin. Where I'll be doing the last, for the summer at least, of the series of stage readings of the first editions of plays based on speculative fiction works. And so this month we are doing Alice in Wonderland, the first ever production of that, which is, I forget how many bajillion decades old. That'll be at the Phoenix Theater Monday, I believe. Doors at 7, show at 7:30, if I'm not mistaken.
Sounds right.
Look it up online, Google it, you'll find it on the Phoenix, or you can find it on Facebook with the event. They've been a lot of fun. We've done Frankenstein and A Christmas Carol already. This should be an interesting one. And then after that, there's like a hiatus for that show until the fall. So come check that out, and follow people on Facebook, Twitter, all that bullshit, like the kids do. And until next week.
You should go to society6.com
/
AON podcast.
What?
And buy AON podcast swag.
What?
We have swag again.
We do.
Yay, swag.
Everybody likes swag.
I want one of those sexy buckle up for the sex pillows.
I kind of do too.
Because that's hilarious.
I kind of like that.
Also, you can get a AON podcast bath mat.
I think I need to
step all over Matt.
More than anything, I find that creepy.
I'm super excited about that. You can just walk right all over Matt.
In the coming weeks, we'll have a few more designs on there. Right now, it's just our circle logo.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll play around with it.
Have fun.
But yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Take care of yourselves and each other. And until next week, eat the fucking cake.
# assume the board.
Well done.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
This is me talking into a microphone.
This is me talking into a different microphone.
I get a microphone, too.
No, you don't.
Aww. None for you.